Mutual funds. There's an industry saying, mutual funds will bore you to wealth. Are you looking to be bored to wealth? I'll tell you, folks, they've been very, very good to me. The trick is, the hardest part about mutual funds is choosing the right which ones. There are just, as we'll see, there are thousands of these things. Oh, another name is investments for the masses. But the best name, in my humble opinion, is investment company. That's the legal name, by the way. Investment company. Mutual fund is the popular name, but if you go in the law, it's called investment company. What is a mutual fund? An investment chosen by people who pool their money to buy stocks, bonds, and other financial investments. As we said, the legal term. You get two wonderful things. Now, if I called you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and said, why are the two big reasons we own mutual funds? You should be able to go, professional money management and diversification. Okay? Because, again, you're going to be the financial expert for your friends and family. And they don't understand it. They don't understand what's going on. They see these things that they're supposed to pick in their 401k, but they don't really know what they are. And so you're going to explain to them, oh, you don't understand. You're investing through intermediaries. Somebody's making the decisions on your behalf, and you get instant diversification. So you're not, all your eggs are not in one basket. There are about 12,000 of these damn things. Now, wait a minute. You go into a grocery store. Are there 12,000 different breakfast cereals? Seems like it, doesn't it? No. Are there 12,000 different cars out there? No, no. It seems like it. Yeah, it seems like it. But no, there's really not. There's a couple, few dozen. But there are 12. Why? Well, we're going to see why. Plus, these things are very profitable for the mutual fund companies. And as we said, you are probably going to have these things shoved in your lap. Now they don't even give you the brochures anymore. They go online. And you're going to choose these for your 401ks, 403bs, or maybe your Roth IRA or traditional IRA. Some employer-sponsored plans allow you to buy and sell your own stocks. Most do not. And there's a good reason for that, because most people will screw up royally. So here's my graph. I made this. Aren't you proud of me? From chapter 11, you remember it? Here we are. We're the little people, and more of them are women, because it turns out women are better investors. And we give our $50, $100 a month through our paycheck, checking account, to the people in the top hats. And luckily, more and more of them are women, because women make better investors. It's already been shown statistically. I know, guys, be kind to the women. Remember, the future is female. Okay. Except they got a gay guy running for president. Figure that out. You been following this guy? I can't even say his name. Buttigieg? 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 Buttigieg. Have you looked? Guys, you don't pay attention. You're too broke to pay attention, right? I can't. You know, I never thought I'd live to see a day. A person of color. We had a person of color. We're going to have a woman eventually, but now we have a homosexual. He knows 7 or 8 different languages. He was a captain or a lieutenant in the Afghanistan war. He's a Rhodes Scholar, Harvard educated, mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and he's married to another guy, and he's running for president. What? First man. But not a first, woman. Well, yeah, well, Kamala Harris is running, and who knows. But you guys have grown up in a much different time. But in 1966, we had the first gay homosexual protest. The people wore bags over their heads. That's how frightened they were. They were protesting for gay rights, had bags over their heads. And now we have a guy who's unafraid. Anyway, there was that. Okay, so now, so you're going to be one of these people. Who knows? Maybe some of you are going to be one of these people. But what does it take to be one of these people? Guts, you gotta have guts too. But you gotta go to Stanford, Harvard, Yale, Skull and Bones, Crosby. Don't tell them you went to Southwestern. Okay, they won't like that. Okay, because these people make a lot of money. And they create a pool of money that looks like a potato. And there are billions of dollars in these pools. And so they buy not just 10 stocks or 20 stocks like we did in the one class. They buy 100 or 200 stocks. So if one company does RAD, does Rite Aid, you don't lose that much, right? You lose a little bit. If you have 10 stocks and one of them is Rite Aid, you're going to lose a lot. If they buy bonds, they don't buy 10, they buy 100 or 300 or whatever. That's a bond mutual fund. If they buy the short-term cash instruments, they're not savings accounts. They're like savings accounts. It's called a money market mutual fund, but usually we don't hear people say money market mutual fund. It's just people hear people say money market. And this, you're not going to lose money here, but you're not going to make a lot of money here. But in both of these cases, you can lose. You will lose, that's for sure. We already saw that. And bonds, you're going to lose sometimes a little bit. But now we begin to see the beginning of the explosion of different funds, and that's a balanced mutual fund, stocks and bonds. Cool. So why do we buy mutual funds? Why do we buy mutual funds? And the PETA factor. The PETA factor with mutual funds is very low. What does PETA stand for? Pain in the... I wish I would have come up with that. I got that from the wealthy barber, by the way. Once you've purchased your mutual funds, once you've decided which mutual fund or mutual funds, and when you're starting out, you only need one, but after a while, you might want to diversify within mutual funds, you have nothing for you to do. Just make sure $100 comes out of your paycheck or comes out of your checking account, and they do all the rest. Who are the funds managers? Managers change often. You have to be careful. And the diversification is something that is difficult for, not impossible, but difficult for individual investors to obtain on their own. Let's take a look at the mutual fund industry. Now, the ICI, Investment Company Institute, that's their trade group. They are statisticians. And it'll come out within a few weeks. It usually comes out about May. So I don't know. We don't know the data for 2008 yet. But as of 2017, there were almost 12,000 of these things. When the Investment Company Act of 1940 was created, it solidified the industry. Before that, there were mutual funds, but they were in this quasi-governmental state. Some states didn't allow mutual funds. They didn't like what was going on. And the feds were going, what the hell do we do with these things? So the repugnants and the demagogues, you know, they got together in the sandbox and played nicely, and they created the Investment Company Act of 1940. And it has stood the test of time. It has worked very, very well for us as a society. 30 years later, 350, 600, 2,000, 9,000 by the end of the year 2000. Because the market went in two directions, up and way up. And so all these companies started coming out with more and more mutual funds because there's money to be made in this industry. So, how do you buy them? How do you buy them? Well, there are a couple different ways. If you feel you need investment advice, you can go to a financial representative, a broker, account executive, whatever you want to call us. And the person has to be licensed, and you buy through them. You can go right to the investment company itself. Companies like Fidelity and Vanguard and a bunch of others say, don't bother with the financial representative. Go right to us. And my humble opinion, it doesn't matter how you do it. My humble opinion, the best way to do it is just set up $25, $50, $100 a month. And remember we talked about dollar cost averaging? We'll come back and look at it again. It's a horrible name. I wish I could come up with a better name. Sometimes I use stream of investments. Think of it like a... putting more money away. Well, how do you sell it? Call up your broker, go to the mutual fund company directly. But in my humble opinion, the best, unless you're saving this money for like a down, for example, a down payment on a house, but many people are saving for retirement, right? Saving for their golden year. And so you're going to be doing this your whole working career because it used to be that your boss did it for you, your employer set aside money for you. Maybe they took it out of your paycheck, maybe not. And then they paid you a pension. But that's all gone. They're still around for some places. But you're going to do that. And as we see in chapter 14, you have the ability to create for yourself a marvelous a phenomenal, a fantastic pension. So much better than any employer would have given you. But you also have the ability to royally screw up. And this is what people are doing. They're royally screwing up. How do they do that? They don't contribute. I got plenty of time. I don't have to worry about it. When I get to their 50s, oh. Or they do a very bad job of managing their assets. And this is very typical. And you're not going to be one of them. We're going to show you how to do that. Not today, but on Tuesday. I promise. Okay, now, so here's the deal. You're going to put $100 a month away for the next 30, 40 years. Can you do that? And then you're going to take out $2,000 or $3,000 for the rest of your life. A growing stream of income. We already showed you. I already showed you, right? Didn't I show you? I showed you the stock portfolio, right? Let me show you again. Okay, okay. Is that the deal? You with me? Did I mention that there's no guarantees? Did you read the fine print? Okay. But I did show you. I think I'm pretty sure. I'm getting old. I'm getting really, really old. Really, really, really old. Didn't I show you these guys? I think I did. Because I remember you said you're not too excited with the bonds. And I said, let's go right to the stocks. This is the kind of class you are. So here's, be afraid, be very afraid. 30 years of $100 a month, right? And how much do we have? $36,000? $226. Not bad. But if you just extend your time horizon, 10 years, time is the exponent. $100 a month for 40 years is $48,000. Would some people pay for a car, right? And you have almost $1 million? Yeah? Now, this is what I hope you get in the habit of. You put in $100 a month this year. What do you do next year? 110. The year after that? 120. So two fewer trips to $5. $4. $5. Two fewer trips to Jimba Jamba Jamba Juice for 800 calories of sugar. You put in $140,000 because your investment's growing every year. Again, that sounds like a lot of money, but over 40 years, it's a whole lot less than you're going to spend on cars. That's $4,000 or $5,000 a month for the rest of your life. Is that cool? Yeah, I think so. Okay, now, what else is that? Oh, forget it. We already jumped at the life insurance company. You're never going to trust an insurance company, right? Okay, good. All right, now, not bad. Stretch, everybody stretch. Go wake up. I have a few more minutes. I know this is not the exciting part. Are mutual fund companies non-profit organizations? Hell no. No, they are out to make a buck. Some of them earn their money, I think, very well. Some of them, not so well. But they're all going to charge you. And they're all going to charge you an annual operating expense. This is where people just start to, their eyes glaze over. They know they're being charged. They don't understand, and nor do they really want to. But once it's explained, or once they read it, it's really not that difficult. There are three charges. I don't break it down here. Oh, yeah, 123, I broke it down. There's the management fee. You don't have to remember this. The 12B1 fee. What the hell is that? And then the other, accounting and other expenses. We break it down in 123, but it'll be broken down in the prospectus, the thing that you don't read. You know, we have to, if it's not online, we have to give you a prospectus. Nobody reads it. Now they just say, oh, click here, tap here to say that you've read the prospectus. Because you all read the prospectus, right? It's really useful. I'm telling you, it's useful. If you have insomnia at night, read the prospectus and boom. Right up. It's a joke. But it's true. It's not only a joke. And typically, you'll see anywhere from less than 0.5% up to 2% or more. And what does that mean? Well, say you have $100 in the account. If, you know, typically, let's just use 1%. make life easier. If they have a 1% fee, that means they're taking a buck from you for every $100 you have in the account. So $100, a dollar, $1,000, $10. Does that sound like a lot of money? It's actually a lot less than the bank or the life insurance company is charging you. But does the bank or the life insurance company have to show you? No. According to the Investment Company Act of 1940, the mutual fund must show you in the prospectus that you have to be given that nobody reads. So they don't want you to know, really. Just trust them. Okay. So figure, some companies are going to have less than 0.5%, upwards of 2% or more. Now, on top of that, you may be charged a sales load or a sales commission. In the 123 class, we discuss these in detail. You're trying to tell me that we're about ready. Oh, we are about ready to go. It's the 5-minute rule. It's 5 minutes. Okay. Okay. In the 123 class, we go into these in detail. We will just mention those on the next slide when we come back. Because when we come back, you do not want to miss Tuesday. I am serious. Because you are going to see the full spectrum of risk versus return. And you are going to understand how people emotionally fall into a trap. And you're not going to do it, and you're going to help your friends and family not do it too. Is that cool? Okay. So we'll see you on Tuesday. Study, study, study. Do your assignments. Turn them in. And we want you to be awesome.